I'm a happy with sitting certain so 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 I I'm happy with it and certain so. I'm a happy was so 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 I'm a I can sit, 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 I can sit
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book today is titled Making Your Own Reality, A Survival Story. And joining me from Oregon is Dr. James P. Mead, Jr. Welcome, sir, to the program.
Jay, it's nice talking to you.
Pleasure visiting with you. Your story is fascinating on many levels and also a challenging story, one that takes place beginning in 1965, if I remember correctly. You were in the military. You have a family history. Many of your family members were committed people to the military and have a very illustrious career. Yours took on a very dark direction in 1965. Share with my listeners a little of what happened and how it is you're here today.
Well, actually, it wasn't 65. I joined the Army in 65.
Joined in 65.
When I was 18.
Right.
And I had already finished almost 2 years of college. And so I signed up to, in 65, to be a helicopter pilot. And because I'd already finished so much college, they took me. And then I passed. But in 67, I was shot down. Three times, as a matter of fact. But the last time was the worst. And I spent 10 weeks unconscious and then 3 years in the hospital.
It was a long recovery.
Well, you know, true. My parents were fantastic, and my father built a ramp in the back, so whenever I came from Madigan down to Portland to visit with him, I would learn how to walk every day, almost all day, on this ramp. We just try and try and try, and I didn't learn how to walk from that, but I finally learned.
And the first 18 years of your life basically were wiped out during this incident. Did you ever recover any of that early life memory or lifetime memory?
Well, you know, no, I never have, and I've told people, oh, it's bound to happen someday, but it's been all these years, been 49 years, and I still don't remember the first 20 years of my life. So in other words, I say I'm 69, and I've had 49 years to do it.
Wow. The doctors and staff at the hospital didn't expect you to survive. In fact, they basically wanted to write you off, but somewhere in your life and in your spirit was a determination to continue living, not only to live, but also to thrive. Share with us where that came from.
Oh, you know, I'm going to tell you that came from my parents and from my ward mates at Madigan General Hospital. I mean, they were so fantastic. I was the only officer on the ward, and I was the most seriously wounded. Even though we had amputees on the ward, it was the amputee ward. They took care of me. I was their little boy, and helped me learn how to talk. Which was a very slow process. I never learned how to walk, but to them, I was learning how to feed myself. I wasn't allowed to eat in the mess hall because I didn't know how to feed myself.
Mm.
But these people were just wonderful. I mean, they would talk to me every single day, all day long. They would take me into the TV and have me watch TV. Every chance we had, my ward mates were really, really fantastic. I mean, here they were amputees. They had their own problems, but they were willing to put that aside on the severity and devote their time to me.
You had to learn to not only talk again, but also to read, and basically your education process started from square one almost. although you were in your late teens, or was it, were you 20 at the time?
I was 20.
You were 20 at the time. And that education process motivated you, as you began to learn, to decide to go back into, or to continue your education. Share with my listeners what you accomplished there.
Well, first I got to say that before I went in the Army, I was the president of the University of Oregon chapter of the Freshman's National Scholastic Honor Society. In other words, the top dude.
Right.
And I'd be told that, oh, James, you used to be so smart. And I wanted to be, if I was so smart, why couldn't I be smart again? And then there were a lot of people that, you know, we told me, oh, we can't make it anymore. You know, we're messed up and we can't do it. And I wanted to prove to myself, yes, we could do it. We could do it. And I hope I did. I hope I made it.
Your education has put you with an earned doctorate in psychology, where you are helping other people who have had difficulties in their lives. This book, you wrote it, I'm guessing, because of the photos and biographical sketches you have of family members, not only to honor them, but also to encourage others. What was the other purpose, or was there another purpose in sharing your story?
My purpose all along was to be able to show people that they can do it. Because I'm nobody special, and if I did it, they can do it. If they're willing to do what it takes to accomplish their goals. I mean, everybody I know has always been super, 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 super great to me. And I wanted to show people that, hey, they could have it just like me.
Your story has your story has been featured in Reader's Digest. You also have been given many awards by the United States government, by President Carter and others. You, because of your education and your relearned skills, you have also been a professor in the Ukraine. That's an interesting sideline to your story.
That was super, super exciting. I met some members of the Afghanistan veterans of Ukraine in San Diego, and we talked, and then when they went back to Ukraine, they talked about me to the University of Dnipropetrovsk, State University, and they invited me there. They wanted me to be invited. I was invited. And I taught psychology and some English, professional English, to students there. It was a great adventure. Great adventure. It was all in English. And it's something that I'll never forget, because I was the only American in Dnipropetrovsk. And everybody again was great to me.
There has been a faith element that has interjected itself into your life as well, spiritual faith. You have gone back to school and also pursued a degree in theology. Is that also correct?
Right. I have a master in theology, and I have I'm just blessed. I don't know how to put it. My faith, like everybody's faith, is individual. How you interpret what you read and how you feel God treats you and how you feel God treats the world and then how you treat God. And my life is based on my faith. And I don't apologize that to anybody. And believe it or not, for some people, I have to apologize. Oh, people say, oh, you believe in God?
Mm.
And I just say, yes.
Yes,
I don't
simple.
Argue it. I just say yes.
Simple statement, and yet one that can be profound. When you look back at the many things that you have experienced, besides the trauma of Vietnam, is there anything else that stands out that the reader is going to find motivational when they read your book?
I hope they find out that it's okay to get depressed. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to have failures. It's not okay not to try. It's not okay for them. Because if they want to have a better life, all they have to do is try. And you know, I mean, I'm nobody special. I'm nobody special. But if I can do it, why can't they?
Mm.
And it's not only why can't they can.
Do you also feel your book may have a calming, inspirational, motivational effect on Vietnam vets? I have a friend and a neighbor who is a Vietnam vet that still is traumatized by his experience there.
You know what? Okay, I worked for the VA Vet Center, and I work with Vietnam veterans and their families. And you know, I've realized that people get better because people get better, and some don't.
Hmm.
I care for them. I love these guys. I love these girls. They do the same thing. Women do the same thing. That suffer. And I have to admit, I think I'm fairly smart now, but I sure don't know everything.
Not always an answer, but you have managed to share not only your personal experience, but also the story of your family in these 218 pages.
I've got to say this. You know, and some people say, how can you go through all this and still feel this way? But I'm blessed. I can go out the door, and I can look up, and I can see the sky. I can get up, go outside and feel rain. Mm. I can go out and see snow. I can talk to people. And the only way this could have happened is through the grace of God.
Beautifully put. And I guess a subtitle to your book would be, I Am Blessed.
I am blessed. I am. I mean, I hate to seem corny and or lacking in words, but I can't really think of a better way to put it. I mean, before I went in the Army, I was the, like I said, head of the Freshman National Scholastic Honor Society at the U of O. And so I was the top freshman at the University of Oregon. For 64, 65, before I went in the service. And then how can I, then I lost everything. Everything. I mean, not some things, but everything.
Everything.
Why did this happen? I believe, in like in the Bible, I was healed by God to help other people. One thing you didn't know, or didn't say, is I work with people around the world, around the country, that are brain injured and their families. I'm retired now, but I did it for nothing.
Hmm.
Because I'm so blessed. How could I charge somebody for being able to do it?
Well, thank you for sharing your story. This is an inspirational moment. Thanks again. Beautifully done. The photos are certainly helpful in getting an understanding of not only your life, but the life of your family. And you have listed the multiple awards in the back of the book. Not there necessarily to brag, I'm sure, but to motivate others to really take a look at their life and do what they can with what they've got.
We also, in the back of the book, is a copy of the Reader's Digest article. They gave us permission to put it in the book. And that's what I want people to read, because I was torn to bits. And I want them to read that and know that, hey, that guy went through hell. I can too. That's what I'm praying for.
Beautifully put. Title of the book again is Making Your Own Reality a Survival Story. My guest, Dr. James P. Meade, Jr. Sir, where can my listeners get copies of your book?
Amazon, and then through I'm a trooper right now. I've gone blank.
not a problem.
The main source right there.
Sure. Let's just suggest that they do a search under your name, James Meade.
Or James P. Meade, right, exactly.
And they can find it. They'll find it there and also on Westbow Publishing's website.
Oh, right, right.
And are you active in social media, maybe on Facebook or anything of that nature at this point?
No, not really. I've been so busy that I didn't really take the time to get involved in social things, but I am now. I'm retired.
Well, this may open up an opportunity for you to do what's called a fan page on Facebook. You can get someone to help you there, I'm sure. They would love to hear your story and be motivated as those who will read the book and can make comments on it. They can also do a search, I'm sure, on Amazon.com and their local bookseller. If they want to request the book, they can get a copy of it. Again, the title is Making Your Own Reality, A Survival Story. My guest has been Dr. James P. Meade, Jr. Thank you, sir, for joining me today and sharing your story.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Honored to visit with you. For Indie Book Publishing, West Bow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
Rain, don't, and rain.
Rain, golden, elf, and rain, golden, elf, and rain, golden, elf. Rain, and if it